Learn more. Sponsored by the Institut International de Lancy. An education for life at IIL.
Today on Learn More, it's all about bilingual learning. I spoke to Dr. Mehdi Lazar recently about just this. He is head of school at the École Bilingue de Berkeley in the US. I thought we'd start the show today with his perspective. He's had 15 years of international experience in teaching, research and consulting. He's passionate about multilingual education and has authored many articles on the subject. He's born and raised in France, but he speaks, in fact, around five languages. The first thing I asked him was how long it takes to learn a new language. Here's Dr. Mehdi Lazar speaking to me from California.
It will take a little while. And if you think of two things, and what does it mean to be bilingual, actually? If you think about, you know, having informal conversations with people, say, on the playground or in a cafe, it'll take 1 to 3 years. Jim Cummins has been, thinking about that quite a bit. So 1 to 3 years to be able to socially interact in an informal setting and not really have academically driven conversations. Now, if you think about being bilingual as having, you know, sophisticated, complex conversations in an academic setting, it will take much longer. And so Jim Cummins and Colliers also have thought about that and look at what does it take to have in-depth conversations in an academic setting and be able to use the language in an academic setting, in a cognitively demanding environment. And they said that depending on your level, it will take 5 to even 10 years. So with an average at 7 years. So you've got this range, and depending on what you want to do with the language and the kind of situations you will find yourself in using the language.
We say that children soak up information like sponges. So is it like that? Is it much easier for kids? Can they absorb a language like a sponge?
Well, yes and no. And that's a very interesting question. If you think about it, children are slower than adults to learn a language. And the reason is that they don't have our metalinguistic ability and cognitively they're not as advanced as an adult, where if I were to, you know, I'm in my early 40s, if I were to start learning a new language, I will be way faster than a child because, you know, I'm educated. I used to be a teacher. So, you know, the approach that I have is more expert, so to speak. Now, the children, they have advantages. They have the time, particularly, and they don't realize that they're learning the language through play, through exposure, singing, getting the vocabulary, getting the phonology in. And so we say that they learn that like sponges because they don't realize that they're learning, but it takes a little more time and they require a massive exposure and a lasting exposure to the target language. One of the advantages that you have if you learn the language as a child is that you don't have an accent in the target language, right? Because the brain is not wired in a sense that you will be having difficulties reproducing the sound of the language you want to be learning. Where if you start learning later on, and we call it, for instance, late bilingualism, say after 12 years old, most likely you will have an accent. And that's why you hear most bilinguals in the world actually do have an accent in their second, third language.
Are there other advantages to being bilingual other than the obvious just being able to communicate with more people?
Yeah, absolutely. And indeed, as you said, the first one is really this ability to communicate across languages. And so you can reach more people. Now, from there, you can have an access to the culture. So the language is giving you a specific perspective on someone else's culture. And therefore, you start understanding that there are multiple ways to solve problems and you can have multiple viewpoints looking at something specific. But really, one of the best advantages that you can have is, you know, this enhanced cognitive ability. Because when you're bilingual, you always have two languages activated in your brain, then you have to inhibit and deactivate one of them if you're speaking with someone in a monolingual mode. And this back and forth between the activation and the deactivation actually enhances your executive function. And so you have more flexibility, plasticity, an ability to attend to important information, an ability to recognize patterns differently. You're more of a divergent thinker. You have an ability to solve problems differently. And so basically many, many studies now suggest that bilingualism can positively impact, affect both intellectual and linguistic processes and progress. So you have more of a metalinguistic ability, meaning you have a better ability to learn a third language, a fourth language. Many of those advantages are now recognized and actually very much valued.
And what happens if you don't keep up with the practice? Is it a bit of a use it or lose it thing?
Exactly, yeah. The if you don't keep up with it, most likely the first language will take over. And François Grosjean from Switzerland talks about that, as well as Colin Becker from the UK. And Colin Becker particularly talks about your biography as a language learner. So you see, and you've probably met a lot of people, learning new languages, but also losing languages. I've lost one of my languages, two, and I've picked up another one as an adult because I moved to a new country. So you can very much, if you dedicate time to it and you have enough exposure, you can pick up any language at any age, really. But if you don't use that language, you will absolutely lose it. And that's too bad, because if you started a language as a student and you started, let's say, 4 or 5 years old, by the time you're 10, 12, you're very much this academic ability to learn into languages. You can use the language to learn. It's for you a tool to access knowledge and concepts and ideas.
Dr. Mehdi Lazar there, head of school at the École Bilingue de Berkeley in California, talking about bilingual education this morning for Learn More.
Learn More, sponsored by the Institut International de Lancy, an education for life at IIL.
Looking this morning at bilingual learning for Learn More, and I am joined on the line by Tanya McMahon, who is the IB Diploma Programme Coordinator at IIL, to tell us more about the IB, the Advanced IB. So, Tanya, first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you're working with teens then. If we're talking about the IB, you're working with teens, so I guess around 16 to 19 years of age. Is that too late to become bilingual or to start a bilingual education?
Well, it's not necessarily too late to start a formal bilingual education, although by that age, we would kind of expect that a student would have strong basis in the two languages. But it could be that maybe they've been exposed to a language, they speak a language at home, but they've never actually been formally schooled in that language. Mm. Our students, they have travelled, they have lived in other countries, they have, it's a little bit like stamp collecting in some cases, they've collected languages along the way and have not necessarily had official bilingual schooling. It's true they might need additional support before they can access a bilingual education. So for example, at IIL we have an IB preparation year for such students, where they can take an extra year to reinforce their language skills before they would then embark on the bilingual IB programme.
So it is okay if they've spoken something casually at home, maybe, but they've then been learning in another language. There's still opportunities to sort of formalise that and do a bilingual IB.
Yes, again, it's a case-by-case basis, but certainly we have had students who have never formally learnt in a language. They would need some written skills, some spoken skills, and again, with the possibility of doing an additional preparation year to reinforce their skills, particularly say students who have a fluent in a language other than English, then for example in our IB preparation year, then we would encourage the students, help the students reinforce their English skills and then access the bilingual programme following that.
So I think that because we're in this area, we're talking mainly English and French. Is that the case, though?
Absolutely not, actually. although, yes, predominantly the students that we will see coming into a bilingual programme in this region would have French and English as two dominant languages. It's not necessarily the case. In fact, the bilingual IB diploma can accommodate students who speak any two languages fluently. In fact, I looked it up yesterday. The IB diploma actually has the possibility to do up to 55 different languages. Now, those are not necessarily taught courses, but in fact, the students can follow a self-taught literature course in any one of those 55 different languages, in addition to attending taught literature courses in either French or English. And that will then enable them to access a bilingual diploma.
Can you give us an idea of how many different languages are being learnt at IIL or that the kids speak at IIL?
Well, again, that's a huge number. We have more than 95 different nationalities in our school and also many, many nationalities in our staff. You know, in Geneva, we're truly in a multicultural environment. I probably the best representation for me was something that happened actually with our year 12s this year, our first year IB students. We needed to group them into random groups. So we just casually said, okay, if you speak one language, please go and stand in that corner. If you speak two languages fluently, stand in that corner, and so on and so on. So we had students speaking three languages and four languages. And when the students moved around, then we were left with the group still standing there. And one of them sort of shyly said, well, where do you want the ones who speak five and where do you want the ones who speak six languages to go?
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous.
I really hadn't anticipated that. So, you know, as I say, it's a little bit like stamp collecting. They have collected these languages through exposure with what they've spoken at home or countries that they've lived in. Which reflects their own multiculturalism.
Well, we heard from Dr. Mehdi Lazar a little bit earlier, who was saying that once you sort of are using that part of your brain a lot more, that it can open up being able to speak more. So you become bilingual, and it can actually make it easier to then pick up another and another. So it's quite incredible. I have a question for you, though. I mean, we're talking now about doing the IB and getting some kind of documentation that says, yes, I really am bilingual. Does it really help to have that made official on your CV? Or can anyone just put on that they speak a couple of languages?
Well, I think there's a few points there. First of all, you know, if we're talking about students leaving school and entering university, then acceptance at university usually requires some proof of language proficiency. So there, obviously, the bilingual diploma is extremely helpful and sometimes necessary, depending on where a student plans to study. And, you know, by studying the bilingual diploma, of course, it makes available the possibility to go to prestigious universities all around the world. But does it get you a lower university offer than someone who's studied the IB diploma without taking the bilingual options? Well, again, that's a case-by-case basis. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. But the bilingual diploma, though, does hold more weight than just stating on your CV that you're fluent in a language, because what it does do is it certifies that you're both bilingual and biliterate. You can read and write and speak fluently in two languages. And this, what anecdotally, when our students come back to school after they've finished their studies, what they will say is that they have been surprised at the advantages it's given them, even if they hadn't anticipated them in advance.
Just very quickly, I do want to touch on this, the difference between the bilingual diploma and then the advanced bilingual diploma. There are multiple options.
Yes, well, the advanced bilingual diploma is actually something that's only available in English and French, but it's really targeted for the students who are completely at ease with switching their two languages. So for the bilingual diploma, students are required to take two literature courses in two languages, but then they can study the rest of their subjects in just one language. So they can take French literature and English literature, for example, and study their other subjects in English. For the advanced bilingual diploma, it gives the possibility for the students to mix the languages for all of their subjects. So they could, for example, choose to take biology in French, art in French, maths in English, in addition to the two literature courses in French literature and English literature. So it really does reflect, it's really the creme de la creme, I would say, of bilingualism. It's a very, very nice thing to be able to show that you are totally at ease with switching between the two languages.
Tania McMahon, we're going to come back to you in a little while after the news. IB Diploma Programme Coordinator at IIL. We are talking bilingual education this morning for Learn More.
Learn More, sponsored by the Institut International de Lancy, an education for life at IIL.
So we've just been talking about the IB, but what about learning another language and having a bilingual education much younger? I'm joined now by Jean-François Lopez, who is Director of Primary and Director of Bilingual Primary at IIL. So Jean-François, thanks very much for joining us today.
Good morning, Kate.
So what are some of the specific considerations that you have to keep in mind when you're building a bilingual program for students? We're looking at, I think, ages between 3 and 10 here.
Exactly. So first of all, you need to understand that bilingual education, it's not a translation of one curriculum in another curriculum. It's not translating the French curriculum in English or to translate the UK national curriculum in French. It's to have a very seamless curriculum, blending the both curriculum. It's, we call that harmonization of the curriculum. And so we have to consider that all the concepts are taught in both languages, one day in French, one day in English, one day in French, etc. And this rotation of language, we have to make sure that it's a very smooth transition between days to days, language to language, and naturally concept to concept. So the curriculum, it's always unique based on the school vision, based on the school philosophy, to make sure that we will, at the end of the journey, because bilingual education, it's a journey, and at the end of the journey, you make sure that all the students meet the requirement of both curricula after 7 years of being educated in a bilingual environment.
But how do you decide which aspects of, for example, a UK curriculum and then a French curriculum to take? How do you decide which bits to cherry pick from one and the other?
This is very complex, very, very complex, because, you know, usually when you want to have an insight or any kind of curriculum, you go online. And so you have access, and everyone has access to what we call the written curriculum. This is exactly what is supposed to be taught to the student. But beside that, you have also what we call the hidden curriculum. It's the philosophy behind any national curriculum. The UK national curriculum has its own philosophy about what they want to build as a citizen. In the French curriculum, we have hidden what it's strategical, political, what we want to be our students to be the future citizen in France. And so for us, it's to find the best world, the best part of each curriculum to make a unique philosophy to build a global citizen in the future. Beside that also, you have the teacher approach, because the teacher, you know, the teacher at the end is in front of the student every day, and now also they have to harmonize their practice. Some of teachers are very, you know, very structured teacher, day by day books, and you have more creative teacher, and now they have to combine all this talent in the best benefit for the student. And this is very great. It's a very long term, and it needs a lot of meeting, harmonization. The preparation is very long, in fact. You cannot improvise a curriculum, a bilingual curriculum.
Absolutely not. I mean, any curriculum sounds like it's very well thought out. But what about the different pedagogical approaches to different curriculums? Can you elaborate a little bit on that and the different approaches that could be? I guess it's almost a case of different cultures in learning.
Oh, yes. So definitely it comes from the culture. So I will not make a long lesson of sociology, pedagogical sociology, but mainly we are in France, the education is to build citizen in one country, and more in the Anglo-Saxon country, it's more to have open student. We are, the approach is completely different. We are more structure, very hands with very top-down approach in the French system with a teacher. And you are more active and hands-on activities for English classes. And so we need to embrace that. The best difference, it's about the skills. So we usually we talk about art skills, which is the bones of the curriculum. And usually the both curricula, French and English, are overlapping at maybe 95%. So we are expecting at the end the knowledge for both students the same way. But about the soft skills, there is a very huge difference about this, because the UK, the Anglo-Saxon approach, embrace more the character development for the student to be more, to show more resilience, to have more collaborative approach. And when you blend both curricula, you have an amazing learning profile at the end. And this is really good.
I know that I'm talking to you and you're from IIL and you have this bilingual education on offer, but can you be very honest with me? Are there any disadvantages or extra challenges that people will go through because of a bilingual curriculum?
Yes. Yes. So,
thank you. Yes. Thank you for your honesty.
I will not say there are huge disadvantages, but there is something that, first of all, when you enroll your child for a bilingual curriculum, you have to understand it is a unique curriculum. So the parents sometimes feel a little bit alone because when they compare their child education to their nephew, to their child friends, there are a gap. There is a huge gap. There is a huge gap because usually until the age of 7, the bilingual education shows a little delay in the language acquisition. Usually, let's say that at the age of 7 years old, a student mastered in a monolingual education 2,500 words. Probably a bilingual student will master only 2,200. But in fact, he got 2,200 words in both languages. So in total, it's 4,000. So it means a lot more. And sometimes parents are a little confused because some words are taught in French and some words are more taught in English. And parents are confusing because students are using what we call the technically the code switching. So it's me, oh, je te call ce soir.
Okay.
Okay. So you blend some French and English because in fact the students, it's called like this. Or, I just want to have a hug. How we can translate a hug in French? It's impossible. A hug is a hug. You cannot make the thing or awesome. So you have some specific like this, and the parents say, "What I'm doing? My son is going to be an alphabet." The second, mainly yes, we have a small delay with the language acquisition until the age of 9, but after that, all the concepts are here, and we go very, very above the expectation of this year group age. Usually,
I want to get on quickly to the advantages, though. Can you give us a little roundup of some of the advantages that you have seen?
Okay, how long time I have to show you that?
Probably not as long as you need. Go on.
Okay. No, in fact, bilingual education it's completely amazing for the student. All right, yes. So first of all, yes, we have some a huge interest in the language acquisition for sure, but it's only a small part of the benefit of the bilingual education. So we were talking, Mr. Laza was talking earlier, my friend was talking about the executive function. So executive function, it's very vague. And if we go through details, it's mean a lot of very important things in our daily life. It means that our bilingual students, it has been shown by research for sure, show more brain plasticity. So as they are able to have more connection with all the academics knowledge. In math, science, they are more efficient, it has been shown. They are able to embrace a third, a fourth, a fifth language easily. It's more prepared for that. The work memory is better. The capacity to solve problem is higher. About inhibition and emotional skills, they show a very high efficiency. And there are many, many possibilities like this. So I invite people to have more insight with the executive function because there are many, many. And it's very important because the studies show that the bilingual students are very strong in this field.
Thank you so much for explaining the advantages, being honest about some of the challenges and telling us about primary education at IIL. Jean-François Lopez, stay with us.
An education for life at IIL.
joined on the line now by our experts from IIL, Jean-Francois Lopez, Director of Bilingual Primary, and also Tanya McMahon, who is the IB Diploma Programme Coordinator. So thanks very much both for all of your insight this morning. I've really appreciated that. I'm aware that Tanya is in the school. We can hear a little bit of noise, as though I believe that the bell has just rung. Is that correct, Tanya?
So that is. I'm afraid that there are some students moving from classroom to classroom.
Look, they're doing what they need to do. Look, we've just had a question that's come in from Andrew, and I would love to tackle this if we can. It's about bilingual education, but also about parents supporting their kids. So let me just give you an overview, if I may. They have a four-year-old and a nine-month-old, and in their house, mum's German, dad is English, and the kids both speak French. Oh, sorry, the four-year-old speaks French at school or at creche, and they split their languages at different times depending on who is in the room. So if it's mum and dad, they speak German, and then if it's just the four-year-old and dad, then they speak English together. And Andrew has said this has worked really well so far. He says his daughter is fascinated by languages. She's been learning to count in a couple of others, and it's always the first thing that she wants to know when she meets anyone, know exactly what languages they speak immediately. But his question is, she wants to read in French at story time. And he's asking, is this going to confuse her, and should they refuse? I guess, can we jump over to Jean-Francois? Because this is something of a rough primary age. Do you have an answer for Andrew?
Yes, for sure. So remember what said Dr. Lazar first. It depends of what does it mean bilingual? What does it mean language at home or language in general? So here we have exactly three different status of the languages. So you have the mother tongue, what we call the mother tongue, the German, which is also the family tongue because dad and mom interact in German with this young child. And after that, you have mostly what we call the second bilingual. It's not the native one. Native one will be German and the second one and French and English. And now we have the second one, English with the dad mostly, which is really great. So she can interact in both languages. And now we have a late third language, the French, which is the scholar language, which is the school language where she learning and be taught in languages. So at least there is no confusion for this young child to have three languages, because the three languages are really set in her mind. So it is the language at school. So this is French. I learned grammar, I learned all the words, science through French. And I have the mother tongue, the family tongue, which is German, and the English, which is the specific language with my father. So the only thing is she's building the French and she's learning German and English with their parents. So the level of acquisition will be a little bit different because there is no real structure and study of the language or literacy in German and English. This is completely acceptable and there will not be any confusion for her.
So do you think that those kinds of rules are quite important then? When it comes to story time, if she wants a French story, should they say, no, we're at home, it's German stories, or if it's with dad, it's English stories? Should they try and stay quite strict?
No. My advice would be do not be strict if she just wants to have more some French exposure, because she feels that it's the best way for her to have another language. This is the pleasure language. It can be also like this. It can work perfectly. I will not refuse at all.
So, Tanya, I want to come over to you just a moment, Tanya. I want to know what about different maybe rules when teenagers are a little bit older. Do you think that it's still important to maintain those sorts of boundaries when kids are 16, 17, 18?
Well, I mean, yes, certainly within the classroom, you know, if they are in a classroom where they are learning French, they speak only French. That's clear. But, you know, what you notice is that for teenagers, they really have built their own link between the language and their own experience. And it's always quite interesting to see when they will switch from one language to another. It clearly is ingrained into them. You know, if you're not in a language classroom, then you will find that students group together in order to be able to converse in a language that's more that's more used to them. I mean, I teach physics, for example, and this particular year I have a lot of Russian students. So, you know, they will quite happily need to speak in Russian in a physics class that's being taught in English. So I think then, you know, the rules don't have to be so strict. They regulate themselves.
So question to both of you. Do you think that there's an ideal age to start a bilingual education?
So I will see... The earlier you start, it would be a much easier way for you to embrace the bilingual education. Remember what said Mr. Lazar. We are building at the same time both languages in oral, based on oral skills in the maternelle, in the preschool. So more exposure means more mastery of the language with less Frenchy sound as I am when I'm talking here in English. So it's very good for them. So the approach, yes, it's very interesting. And it's very complex to join, and Tania will probably explain that more than that. It can be complex for a non-English French speaker to join a bilingual program at a very advanced age. It's feasible, but very complex.
Tania, would you agree?
Yes, I would. I mean, I would say really, truly to have the full advantages of a bilingual education, then the earlier you learn the languages, the better. It just means that you have the opportunity to have been exposed to the language in many different forms, and that makes it much easier to take advantage of the choices later on.
I want to say a massive thank you to Jean-François Lopez, Director of Bilingual Primary at IIL, and Tania McMahon, IB Diploma Programme Coordinator at IIL, as well as Dr. Mehdi Lazar, Head of School at École Bilingue de Berkeley. Thanks so much for this episode of Learn More, talking bilingual learning, bilingual education. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Learn More, sponsored by the Institut International de Lancy, an education for life. At IIL.